Peter Godfrey.
Text 1-999-1395.
Interactive Radio. 1395. Adelaide's 5AA.
17 minutes past five. Let's head across the ditch to New Zealand. Selwyn Manning joins us. He's from scoop.co.nz. G'day, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
How's things over there?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Weather looks like it's settling in for a bit of fine spell. It's a high of 18, apparently, heading our way.
Oh, okay. All right. We're on a par there. We're on 19 today. So there we go.
There you go.
Nice. All right. However, different for some of the Pacific Islands with La Nina weather conditions causing severe drought.
Yeah, that's right. The New Zealand Foreign Minister, Murray McCulley, yesterday put out a statement where he alerted us to the fact that New Zealand and the United States are quickly responding to Tokelau's requirement to get some water onto its three atolls. Now, what's been happening is, like you said in the intro there, Peter, La Nina weather patterns have been kind of in evidence right through the Pacific and certainly in Australia and New Zealand as well, going back to around about this time last year. And that has been causing, you know, very severe drought conditions up around just north of Samoa in particular, and that's where Tokelau kind of sits. So if you looked at Samoa and you kind of look north-northwest a little bit, you'll see the Tokelau atolls, like little dots in the middle of the Pacific. Now, each of those atolls, those three atolls all together are the home for around about 1,500 people. And they're all New Zealand citizens, so in a sense, Tokelau is like a suburb of New Zealand, if you like. It's under New Zealand's governance, and it's having a hard time. So the New Zealand Navy is sending up huge water tanks that have been delivered to Western Samoa, American Samoa, I should say. And the United States Navy is moving a desalination equipment up into Tokelau, into Samoa as well, so that it can actually, you know, make fresh water for the islands, Peter.
Mm. So it was, about a week's drinking water they were down to there?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, there was 1 week
really
left.
Cutting it fine.
Cutting it very fine, and I've been up there myself, and you can see how delicate it is. You know, no matter what is going on up in the Pacific as far as extreme weather patterns, Tokelau is going to feel it. And we quite often look at Tuvalu as well. Mm-hmm. You know, further over to the west, Tuvalu at the moment, New Zealand is up there producing fresh water for them too, and it's a different situation there. It's salt water has crept into their water table. Like we know, it's kind of almost like, it's an awful thing to say, but like the poster child of climate change impact.
So is that the rising sea level that's led to that?
Yes,
is that what's going on there?
Very low-level, low-lying atolls in the Tuvalu area, and certainly up in Kiribati as well. And the problem's being, the rising sea levels, even if it's minute, that has an effect on their water table. And that's what's been happening up in Tuvalu, and New Zealand has been up there producing fresh water through the same means. But Tokelau, they're slightly hot, you know, I mean, they're low-lying, but they're a little bit higher than what Tuvalu is. And so the Tokelau group and the three atolls are Tafu Atoll, Nukunonu Atoll, and Fokoofa Atoll. Now, those three atolls are always vulnerable to these shifts. I think you may have said, actually, on your program some time ago, that when a cyclone comes across, it's almost like a big giant vacuum cleaner. The low pressure system sucks the sea level up. And sometimes it's extraordinary by metres, you know. With Tokelau, when that happens, on one of the atolls, Nukunonu Atoll, there's a school right in the middle of it. These are tiny atolls. This school, it's actually called David Longhi Building after a former New Zealand Prime Minister, of course. The ocean actually meets the lagoon water at that point, so it becomes submerged. You know, the whole atoll is a frightening thing. The people telling you when you visit these boats, very difficult to get to. But when they tell you about what they experience, it's hair-raising in a sense. But so at the moment, yes, they've been trying to minimise water usage for quite some time, just now it's at critical point, really. And the United States Navy, as I was saying, has come to the fore as well with its equipment to produce, I understand what the tanks will be able to hold is around 136,000 litres of water. So as you can imagine, for the whole population there, that's not going to last forever, but it's certainly going to help over this critical period.
Yeah. Is farming something that happens in any degree on Tukulaun? Is that water shortage affecting that?
It's just too small, Peter.
Too small,
If you stand in the middle of the atoll, you can walk to any part of the coastline within probably 60 seconds, 120 seconds, somewhere around there.
It's that small, okay.
It's that small. Okay. Yep. Yeah, they're very tiny. Some of them are a little bit longer in shape, but they're very small atolls. And it's maybe someone, yeah, but I'm just going on memory. Maybe you'd have to jog to do it in that time.
But pretty small.
You get the idea.
Walking across is very easy to do, though.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing that those atolls, and traditionally they rely on fish as the staple kind of diet. And as you can imagine, there's quite an abundance of fish up there around the atoll. And if one family had a good catch that day, all the fish are kind of put into the middle of the village. And then if someone didn't have a very good catch, that family would get their, you know, fair share, and it was all divvied out like that. And until very recently, like going back only about 10 years or so, there was no currency that it worked on that system.
Okay, right.
And so, you know, quite often, you know, you'll find that there'll be an anthropologist up there and kind of marking out what impact globalization is having on Tukulaun. Like, for example, there's satellite in there now, you know, so you can connect to the internet, and also the kids kind of stand there doing different gestures that they've seen off Pacific Sky, which, you know, with the different hip-hop bands and things from the States, and mimicking them down there. So the cultural shift is very severe, but yes, it's a very special place, and you can only get to it by vessel from Apia in Samoa. You can't fly in because it's not big enough to hold even for a light aircraft.
Fascinating place. Interesting. Mm. All right. Hopes of changes in these weather patterns to get more water there, or what's...
Well, sadly, no. It doesn't look that way. The NIWA, which is a New Zealand scientific organisation that monitors the weather patterns down in this part of the South Pacific, it has identified that La Nina is biting in again right now, that the southern oscillation, if you like, between the pressures in the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean is showing La Nina weather patterns are going to be in evidence again this summer, and are already quite notable and marked at this stage. What that means in real terms is, on the I can only speak from New Zealand's point of view, I suppose, on the west coast of New Zealand, traditionally we get a lot of rainfall. And on the east, we get quite dry, fine periods. Now, with La Nina, it's the complete opposite, and we get a lot more storms from the eastern Pacific as they sweep across to try and actually balance out the pressures and pressure differences between the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. So you guys in South Australia no doubt witness similar kind of weather patterns as that air mass kind of moves across.
Yeah. All right, let's get on to rugby. I guess first, commiserations for the NRL Grand Final with Manly Sea Eagles taking it out from you guys.
Yes, even our Prime Minister, you know, he had a week from hell and tried to face up to some real frailties in the New Zealand economy, but he shot across to Sydney for the NRL final, and it was a loss. He didn't even come back for cabinet, actually. It shows you how much he enjoyed Sydney. He must have thought, I might emigrate, Peter.
But, right.
No, it was a great game, though, and certainly, you know, you could see that, that Manly was the team that came through as the best team on that day, and certainly have shown such strength through the tournament that I don't think people over here cried too much about it. They kind of thought, no, that was not too bad.
A good game. Okay. Does our AFL get much coverage there in New Zealand? Was that
a little bit? You know, we do see it in Sky Sport and things like that, and we kind of watch it and we're trying to get our heads into it, I think. And it certainly looks like a fantastic. Obviously, you people would agree.
Absolutely, athletic game.
You know,
and the AFL Grand Final was a fabulous game too.
It was last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Yeah. So yes, and we're just glad that Collingwood lost. That's a good thing. Yeah. Anyway, onto the Rugby World Cup. So we got quarterfinals coming up this weekend.
We have.
And what can we expect? Who's standouts?
Yeah, on the we're down to the eight teams, obviously. So In quarterfinal one, we've got Ireland versus Wales. Now, that's going to be a really tight game. These two teams have been playing with a lot of heart. They've really been going for it. And Ireland, it was the team that beat Australia in that pool. And, it did so by really dominating up front in that forward pack and came through. Wales, it's been doing the same. So that's going to be a fantastic one to see. Now, the winner of that will end up going to play either England or France.
Mm-hmm.
So, that game is going to be, the England-France game is going to be played at Eden Park on Saturday as well. Now, England is obviously very strong, always has been. France plays with real fear. But on the weekend, France, it actually lost to Tonga. And that just shows you France can be absolutely brilliant or it can be absolutely dire. And England will be watching that because it's very unpredictable. On Sunday, now these are the big games here, Peter. For the Southern Hemisphere, these are the big games.
Yep.
Down in Wellington at Regional Stadium, South Africa will be playing Australia. Now, remember I said last week, Australia gets through its pool games, from here on, it could still win that Rugby
yes.
World Cup.
Yes, yes.
So if it beats South Africa, well, you're still in. You're into the semi-final. New Zealand, it plays on Sunday as well at Eden Park in Auckland. It plays Argentina. Now, Argentina's beaten the All Blacks before, so they won't be, taking this lightly. New Zealand's tipped to be the winner there, but at the same time, Argentina's a tough one to beat. Now, if we just look at those the pool games there for Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Argentina, the winners of those two games is going to play each other in the semi-final. So it could be a New Zealand-Australia semi-final.
Mm, wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah. So it's starting to get there, South Africa, though, Peter, it's looking very, very good when it wants to. It can defend and defend and defend. Australia's had a lot of injury worry, so let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Indeed. Selwyn, thank you so much for that report. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Peter.
See you later. Selwyn Manning, co-editor of scoop.co.nz. It's 29 past 5 and Stone, New Sport and Weather next.